This podcast is from Allegro Non Troppo on Joy Melbourne 94.9 radio station, Melbourne, Australia, and is produced for you by Adam, Peter and Robert. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo across Australia on the Community Radio Network. Allegro Non Troppo would like to thank the Community Broadcasting Foundation for funding Allegro Non Troppo and to APRA for also sponsoring this show. Today we're going to discuss and look at some of the issues of coming out for older people. A lot of people realise their sexual identity in their late teens or early 20s. Occasionally, some people go through life and are not aware of their sexual identity until they're a little bit older. Today, we're going to discuss with Peter, not Peter who presents a show, but another Peter, about his experiences, and we're going to discuss and have a look at some of the issues that surround coming out later in life. Hello, Peter, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Adam, and hello to Peter.
Hi.
Peter, your coming out experience, you came out a little bit later in life. Yeah. Why?
Why? That's probably the big unanswered question. I guess underlying all of that was homophobia.
Homophobia internalised, or were people around you?
Well, a combination of both. Certainly scared. I mean, I can remember back to a church fete. I was probably perhaps first year at university, and I remember one of the old matriarchs of the church saying to me as she sat with next to her knitted articles, do you have a girlfriend yet, Peter? And you could sense all the innuendo that was behind that question.
So and she wasn't really asking a question. She was. The question was, do you have a girlfriend? But what she's saying really was, do you have a boyfriend? Is that how you felt?
Well, I certainly felt the innuendo behind it, that you're not normal, you're not...
She was questioning your sexuality, I guess, wasn't she?
Yes, and remembering this is going back, this would be 1969, 1970, and society's changed quite a bit.
Why was she doing that? What was it about you that made her put this innuendo out?
I've never been formally diagnosed, but I suspect that I'm probably a little bit Asperger-ish, which at that time wasn't even recognised as a condition.
Tell us a little bit. I only know a little bit about Asperger's.
Well, Asperger's is on a continuum of, in terms of...
It's a medical condition?
Yes, and
how does it manifest? How do you know you've got it?
It's done by a range of questions. It can't be tested for as such.
Okay.
But trained psychiatrists can go through the various elements of it. It's on the range of autism, that was the word I was trying to find before.
Because there's a famous, if you watch Boston Legal, there's a character in that with Asperger's. I not knowing much about it myself, I guess it's easy to imagine that by watching this person on TV, then all Asperger's behave the same way, but obviously they don't.
No, it varies on the individual, but it's characterised by people who do come across differently. People with fairly strong trait of the condition can often pick them by the way that they tend to look away from you. They have to be trained to look at people in the eye. And certainly when I was younger, that was something I found very hard to do. And they can often have a particular interest, which they will know in incredible detail. They might be able to talk to you about the range of steam engines that ran on the British railways in the 1920s.
And do you have one of these?
Well, I certainly remember when I was younger, I had an incredible interest in of all things, tape recorders.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember writing about a 3 or 4 page article in good faith, all about the wire recorder and how the tape recorder developed and the history of it, and submitting it to the school magazine and never really quite understanding why they wouldn't want to publish it.
I've got an almost obsession with science fiction. I know so much about science fiction, all the series, the books and everything that's written. I know loads and loads of, not all of it, but most of the major works. I know incredible detail about it. So it's almost obsessive compulsive behaviour for me as well to understand science fiction. But I translate what I know in science fiction. I try and make it into entertainment.
Was this, when you suspect you might have, to some degree, Asperger's, was this something that affected the way you related to people? Did it make life difficult for you when you were young?
Well, yes, certainly. I didn't fit in with groups very well.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt I had this differenceness. I was seen as a loner, was probably an expression. So having all these sort of traits of feeling different, you're trying very hard to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of went through my 20s. I never really had, I suppose you'd sense what you'd call a proper girlfriend. And in terms of relating to males, that was just something that you just didn't do.
Yeah.
I got into my 30s I met someone who I felt maybe I could have a relationship with.
Is this a male?
It was a female. It was, mm-hmm. It's my legal wife, my former partner. And I concentrated, I suppose you almost say concentrated on trying to create a relationship there. And I feel I probably did that reasonably well. We had four children. We have four children. And it was probably in the last 10 years of the relationship that it all started to, looking back on it, you couldn't actually see it at the time. It's funny how these things are incremental. How these little things started to sort of fall away. Sexual performance, the internet.
Mm. Can we just explore that a little bit? So you're saying you got married, you had four children.
Yes.
Okay, and then your interest in sexual stuff with your partner dropped off?
Yeah, looking back on it, was something that, always something more done for her than it was for me.
Okay, and you started to then look on the internet, is that right?
Well, at about the same time, my eldest son told his mother, he's never said anything to me, but told his mother that he believed he was gay. And that, I guess, also heightened interest in just looking on the internet.
Okay.
And it was interesting over time, as I wrote to her, I had a very good friend at university who was sort of very supportive latter years of just sort of moral support and getting me through the course. When he came out not long after we left university, I ended up using an old-fashioned English expression, I cut him. And it was not years later that I realised that he'd probably been making quite a decent attempt at making a pass at me during that last year. And then all this other stuff started to develop in my life, and I felt that it was pretty hypocritical, and I actually made the attempt to contact him and apologise for what had happened. And I related in a letter to him that it's interesting what you can do on the internet in the privacy of your own home. Mm. And over time you realise that the gay porn interests you more than the heterosexual porn.
But I mean, when you were a young man, I mean, I'm speaking from my own experience, I didn't come out until I was 27, which was pretty late. But even though I denied in my mind that I was gay, part of me knew I was, and particularly dreams and that kind of thing. Did you know when you were younger that you were gay, do you think, or had an interest in men?
Looking back, I'd say yes. At the time, it was something that, I mean, I'd had some sort of limited experiences, perhaps going back in my teenage years. I actually left as part of the Boy Scout movement. I actually left the Boy Scout movement because of that. That was my own decision. No one else knows why. I mean, that's probably the first time I've ever disclosed that that's why I left.
You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo here on the Community Radio Network with Adam and Peter. Our special guest is Peter, and today we're discussing coming out later in life. This is Allegro Non Troppo across Australia and the Community Radio Network with Adam and Peter. And this week we're talking about Peter, about some of the issues and aspects of life for people who come out a little bit later. Just been here, quite an interesting conversation with Peter about the fact that he didn't really recognise that he might be same-sex attracted until later in life. And he got married and had four children. Peter, first thing before I want to ask you about the relationship and how this impacts on your family. But first, let's just go back a little bit. So you were married with four children and you started to get inclinations that you may be same-sex attracted. Is that right?
Yes.
How?
Through, I guess it started off as just general inquisitiveness with my son coming out to his mother and just doing some research, Googling the word gay, seeing what comes up, following up the leads that came from that. seeing, identifying the social sites, that sort of thing. And somewhere in the middle of all that, I set up a profile on one or two sites.
Mm-hmm.
Again, at this point, I was probably still thinking to myself, it's all just curiosity. And it was through one of those sites that I had one or two written contacts.
You got a few messages, yeah.
Yes. And there was one particular occasion I got a message from someone, and we ended up meeting, and I remember we went that was here in Melbourne, and we went and had some lunch somewhere, and then we went to the botanical gardens, and he kissed me, and I remember that was something totally different to me. It was a totally new experience.
You must have been aware that this was going to happen. If you meet somebody on a gay website and you set up to go out and have lunch together, it's obvious that this isn't just an exchange of notes about experiences in life.
But I imagine Peter would be it's totally new to him. He wouldn't necessarily know what to expect.
Bullshit. I think he knew what to expect.
I think you're being very cynical.
Well, let's ask him.
Well, I have to go with Peter. While I guess I had all sorts of fantasies of what might happen, the reality of what was going to happen, I certainly had no feeling.
So what did you meet him for? What was the reason that you met this guy?
For these fantasies.
For fantasies, okay. So you did have some idea that something might happen.
Of course, yes.
And was it a sexual fantasy?
Oh, I think, being honest, yes.
Okay.
I imagine it would be like being on a boat and having absolutely no idea what direction you were going in and what you're going to see on the way.
I'm just captivated.
Would you say that was a fair enough assessment?
I think that's all part. I mean, it was all totally new to me. It was a totally new experience, and I honestly was blown away from it. And I subsequently did a momentum course at the
VAC,
Victorian AIDS Council. And in one of the sessions, we went through, and in our group, we have a particular gay experience. That particular moment in your life, you might realise that something's happening. And I would have to say that when this bloke kissed me, that was it.
I think that's one of the things I've discovered with a lot of coming out stories, because here at 3JOY I've done a lot of coming out stories in various incarnations as being short vignettes and long interviews. For gay men in particular, there seems to be a particular event, almost singular, that is the fulcrum, the turning point. I'm always quite interested and I love these little naive stories of people who go out and say they were expecting and didn't know what to expect. And I like to counterpose against that my own first few times I went out to
your own cynicism.
No, I wasn't cynical. First time I went to a gay venue, it wasn't sort of, oh, I wonder if anybody's going to notice me. Oh, I'm shy. Oh, I'm scared. Sort of throw the doors open and pigs, which one am I going to have? Which one deserves me? And I thought, oh, none of this lot.
Mine was a little bit different to yours, but it was nonetheless, I had an idea of what I was going to do. So I went to the only gay bar I knew of, and never having been with a guy before in that way. And I spotted a guy I liked, so I organised it. He thought he was picking me up, but actually I was picking him up. I sat next to him on a bar stool and waited for him to start talking to me.
That's quite calculating, isn't it?
It was, absolutely.
It's probably better that way, because at least then you're in control. However, poor Peter, who went out on this lunch date and didn't expect to be kissed, suddenly found his whole life turned completely upside down. Is that right?
Yes. Mm. Yes, very much so.
So tell us the next bit.
We kept in touch. In terms of as a relationship with him, it probably only lasted several weeks.
Did it get any further than the kiss?
Not much, no.
Okay.
Mm. Is that because you didn't feel ready at that time, do you think?
I think it was more a case of where the other person was and what they were seeking. There was quite an age difference between the two of us. I might add, I still know this person. I know him quite well. Mm. Quite good friends.
Is he older than you?
No.
Younger.
Quite a bit younger than me.
Because, I think the first time you meet somebody, for me anyway, I thought this is the way that all gay relationships develop. And I was absolutely certain this was the guy I wanted to be with. And not realising that he was having sex with other guys when he wasn't seeing me. And to him, I was just another...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's all fair and
equal. Yeah, I'm sure you would say that. Yeah,
I think that's perfectly reasonable. Peter, so what's important in this is that you met this guy, but there wasn't a sexual thing. Did you actually... Have you had a sexual consummation of sexuality?
I've had several encounters. Okay.
What was it like?
I quite enjoyed it, but I'm probably more a relationship sort of person.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, it's as much as a meeting of the minds as a meeting of the bodies, I suppose.
Oh.
Which is an anathema to Adam.
Why? I'm just trying to work out why that would be even come into the conversation. So you'd like to actually get to know and be in love with the people first, yeah?
Yes. And I mean, I...
Now, is this a hangover from the days when you were living as a heterosexual, do you think? Do you think you might evolve past that point?
I'm not even... I'll be honest with you, Adam. I'm not even sure I understand your question.
Okay. So you need to have a relationship and a non-physical relationship with somebody before you can have a physical relationship, yeah? You need to know them or be in love with them or have... Do you think you'll ever get to the point where you won't need to go through that and get to a higher point where you can just have sex without having to know them? Does that sound judgmental?
Interesting.
Peter's not sure of the answer.
No, I'm not.
Never mind. Don't worry about it. You'll find out eventually.
I think it's a case of attraction.
Okay.
And the attraction can be the relationship. Okay. And that might be very short-lived, but I think you need that physical attraction.
You need the physical attraction. Yep. Okay. Let's move on to another thing that you said before that I'd like to have a little bit of a dissection about. Your son came out to his mother, and she told you. All right? Is that right?
Yes, against his will at the time, because I remember him going out of the house and disappearing for a number of hours before he came back in. He was quite upset about that.
Okay, so did he tell his mother that he was gay? And is that actually the case?
He did, and she is quite a homophobic sort of person and didn't take that very well.
Isn't that unfortunate? A gay son and a gay husband. Oh.
Well, hang on, don't jump the gun. Go on.
And he's actually subsequently saying that he's not, but then as my sister said, in that environment, well, why wouldn't he retract?
This is a very interesting situation. Okay, so we need to now put you in your position. Where are you in relationship to your family? Do you still live with them?
No. No, okay. I moved out probably about 8 weeks ago.
Oh, it's not long ago then.
No, not that long ago. And in terms of...
Oh, really?
Relationship with my wife, that was sort of catapulted. We separated separated out of the same room probably back in start of December, and that happened on the strength of a suspicion. She ostensibly went out to get my dirty washing. I'd been at a conference in provincial Victoria, and just by coincidence, there were a couple of condoms in the bag, and that was enough evidence that I came back from walking the dog to find all my possessions sitting in the garage.
Mm.
So I lived there for several months in a fairly hostile sort of environment in all sorts of ways. I mean...
Peter, this is terribly traumatic. But is there a sense of relief?
There has been for me, yes.
Okay. Then the trauma has been released.
We saw a number of counsellors, and I think it's not easy to find a good counsellor. I've certainly developed a good little technique to try and identify those that might have some empathy with the GLBTIQ community, and that is just simply to say to them something about GLBTIQ, and if they look at you in bewilderment or try and sputter the words back, you usually have identified someone who's perhaps not sympathetic.
Does your wife know
about
you being gay?
Oh, my word. I mean,
she is.
Oh, that's a long story, Adam, probably 6 months before we even separated.
All right. So we've got you in this situation. I'm just more interested now about your poor son, what he's going to do. If he is gay, what do you think? Does he know you are?
Yes. Yes. I mean, the whole thing, can I sort of go back to...
Sure.
How, I mean, I met this bloke and I mean, laugh as others might. I fell in love with him. I walked many a times around the gardens sort of trying to understand what had happened in my life. And one morning I was actually having coffee with my wife, and so these tears started rolling down my face. And she said, "What is it?" And I said, "It's nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing." And then over the next couple of hours, we had to run a message, and then I pulled over at one point and said, "Look, I think you're married to a fraud. I think I'm gay." And that sort of threw her life into turmoil. I told her a little bit about the situation. And in one sense, you could just say it was downhill all the way from there in terms of a relationship breaking down. And she's a bit quite homophobic. To the extent, I mean, one occasion I had the radio set to this radio station, and usually I used to push the button before I left the car and I'd change it. On this occasion I forgot, and she came back in and said, got quite aggressive with me about listening to that poofed radio station. So I was living in, yes, quite a hostile environment, but I was determined, I wanted to, if at all possible, create a situation where at least the family could stay in the home. I didn't, because the whole thing was obviously going to fall apart. And we have been able to achieve that. So in a physical sense, their life has not changed a great deal.
This is quite an interesting story. Peter will explore this a little more. You're listening to Adam and Peter here on Allegra Non Troppo and the Community Radio Network. Our special guest is Peter.
And we're talking about with Peter about coming out at a later stage in life. Peter, we haven't actually asked you how old you were when you did come out.
I was probably around 55.
Quite a traumatic experience, though, from what we're hearing about you. You had 4 children, married, and you went through quite a personal journey to get to this stage. How do you feel?
I actually feel...
brilliant. You feel you were going to say brilliant, don't you?
Well, in one sense, yes. I certainly feel I can now be myself. If I see someone that I see a male that looks attractive, I can think, well, he is attractive, and I don't feel guilty about it. Probably one thing that's come out of this whole experience has been, in realising it's your same sex attracted, is that the range of people, the gay community is terribly stereotyped.
How do you mean? Stereotyped by whom?
Oh, the clubs and pub scene. I mean, I went off, I at one point saw a psychiatrist, and he put me in touch with the Also Foundation, and they have a wonderful website with a lot of commercial and community group links, etc. And I took the brave step. My first phone call was to actually try and ring Gamma, which unfortunately...
it's the Gay and Married Men's Association.
That's correct.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that had folded in Victoria. Now, I'd always had an interest in running, and I'd actually gone back to running because part
of this... As in the sport running?
Yes, yeah. And jogging. because part of this whole process was that the stress and the change in life, I lost about probably 13 kilo.
Goodness.
In the space of about six to nine months.
Gosh.
And so I've put that that to good use in terms of getting back to running again. And the next one on the list was an organisation by the name of Front Runners. So I made contact with them. And
this is a gay running group?
Gay and lesbian running. Friends running group.
Okay.
Here in Melbourne.
Here in Melbourne. Mm. Meets, I'll put a plug in, meets 8:30 every Saturday morning at the Observatory Gate next to the Botanical Gardens.
There are Front Runner clubs, I believe, and similar things in other states. And if the listener is interested in finding out, if you have a look on your local gay and lesbian resource site in your state, you'll find something similar to the Front Runners there.
And across the world, actually, Adam. Mm. We've had visitors from Canada and America who come in on Saturday mornings and have a social run, and we have a coffee and a good chat afterwards.
So, how is your relationship with your wife now?
Most of the time now, it's reasonably civil. We're able to work through the practical issues of day-to-day life. She does get very emotional.
That's fair enough. You can quite understand that she would get emotional about.
I can understand it. As I reflected to Adam before, you know, in 23, 24 years of this relationship, and now it's sort of fallen apart.
Through nothing that she's specifically done, you know. I mean, from looking at it from her point of view, it must her whole life has changed through something that she hasn't had a hand in at all.
That's correct.
So is she? What's her attitude towards homosexuality now? Has it changed, or is it still the same?
I would say it's fundamentally the same. It hasn't changed. I mean, her attitude was when I went off to Front Runners the first time I came back from going there. She said to me, "Well, are they gay?" And I said, "Well, they don't wear labels." And if anything struck me about meeting the people I've met through Front Runners is that just how ordinary in terms of the two fat lattes on Friday night. Terribly beige.
We had a message, actually, which has quite amused me, as our listener James has messaged in to say that he's offended that I consider having a pure physical relationship with people is a higher state of being, and he'd argue the opposite. Well, it is only my opinion, James. It's not the opinion of everybody, and I'd be quite happy to argue that with you. Perhaps if you send us a message, you can come in on the show sometime and have that debate. It'd be interesting radio. I can't find anybody who's willing to go up against me on a debate on radio on these issues. So perhaps if you would like to, that might be an interesting thing. I believe I'm more highly evolved than both of the men in here, Peter and Peter, because I'm able to separate sex and love so easily, and I can go and have sex without all of the associated guilt complexes that you both seem to go out and have.
Oh, and what are my guilt complexes exactly?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm sure you've got some. You look as though you have. We're talking to Peter about being a little bit older and coming out, and while we might be making light of the whole issue, it's actually a terribly traumatic time for people. Everybody around you in your immediate family has gone through a huge amount of turmoil, and it sounds as though your wife is still going through a lot of turmoil. What do you see happening in the near future?
For myself, I see myself setting associations. I've got gradually building new friendship groups. It'd be fair to say I didn't have strong friendship groups, I guess, in my married life, and I think in itself that's almost significant.
Cut in on that a moment. Has your wife taken this badly? Has she told everybody you know that you're gay?
From what she said to me, that's certainly the impression I've gained. She has probably said more rather than less.
I was with a guy. We were together for a lot of years. We met in the early 80s. And I found out some time after we'd been together, in fact, after we'd been living together for some time, that he had actually was married with three children when I met him. I was really hostile that he never told me this up front right at the start. His family, all of them, completely hate me on every level. They hate me with absolute passion.
They may have good reason for that, though.
It's because in their eyes, I was the person that took their father away. And their father's now dead. So they say, you took our father away and you killed him. You took my son and killed him. You took my husband and killed him. And I can sort of understand that they feel like that, even though that's not the case. I'm put in this position where I'm hated for being nothing other than the person their father loved.
What about your son? He's 19, is he?
He's 21 now.
21. What's the relationship like between you and your son now?
I wouldn't call it close, but we're certainly able to converse over practical issues in terms of what he might be doing or the course he's completing, that sort of thing.
But not about whether he's gay or...
Oh, no. He's a very private sort of person, and I mean, in some way, so am I. And it's certainly not something he would want to discuss with his father.
What about the other three children?
The next one is a daughter. She's actually finished VCE last year. In her eyes and in the eyes of the other two, their father has died. I'm now just Peter. And she's quite hostile. I had to go out the other night to do a message, and she said something, and I thought she'd said it to me, and I said something. She said, I wasn't talking to you.
Okay.
And went off to her room.
Is that likely to moderate, do you think?
Not in the short... I can't see it happening in the short term.
Okay.
In her eyes, I'm just a total wanker and off this planet.
I've heard this story before, people, but eventually a lot of these situations actually do... The people do come around after a period of time. No matter what happens, there is one inevitable fact, an unmalleable fact. You are her father. And at some stage, it may be necessary for her to prove that blood is actually thicker than water and she might come around. But you have to be prepared. The converse is also possible as well. I know some gay people who lost touch with their families many, many years ago and have never seen or heard or have any interest in contacting them. Not many. Most seem to be able to reconcile and get back together on some level. And in some very rare cases, Peter, going through this amount of turmoil actually serves a very good purpose because it brings them closer together. If there is some particular crisis in her life later on, she may actually need to come to see you. So it's just, we might keep in touch in 5 years' time, if we're all still alive, have this conversation again and see how your life has changed.
That'd be very interesting.
It will be interesting. What do you feel now, looking back over the last few years and the last few months, did you do anything wrong? Was there any things that you did that you would, thinking back, you would have done differently?
No, there isn't. Certainly, the day I pulled the car over and said to my wife, look, I think you're married to a fraud, I don't think I really appreciated where those words might have taken us. And I've reflected since, would I have managed it any differently?
There's no easy way, is there? I mean, you sooner or later, you've got to say something, and however you word it, the impact's still going to be there, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And you've got to reflect. I mean, you always reflect on these things afterwards in terms of what else was happening in the relationship. Maybe there were other cracks in it, and this is only one of them. I don't know. I mean, I'm very much of the vein that you can't change the past. I mean, one of the feelings I have at times is a feeling of waste, of a wasted 25, 30 years, that things could have been different. And it's something that you can get quite melancholy over, and I occasionally go home from work and I go for a run, and it helps settle the mind. In fact, I'm quite convinced that the physical activity has been a very strong influence in keeping me going.
Do you really think you've wasted the last 25 years of your life, Peter, honestly? You've got four children. That can't be a waste.
Well, that's exactly it, Adam. You've got to look at the other side of it. But it's obviously when I feel like that, it's the feeling of loss, of lost opportunity, of perhaps where you could have been.
We could all weep for opportunities we've missed.
Yes, you're not alone there.
Having been out since I was very young, right, relatively young anyway, I have to say, yes, you have missed a lot of opportunities. Because those years that I've gone through, particularly my 20s and 30s and 40s, and now that I'm getting into my 50s, I have to say, life has been so great. Despite all of the things that have been heaped on gay and lesbian people since the 1970s, there's a positive side that came out of that, because the sense of community we developed when we were in crisis, a community in crisis, when we were beset by homophobia, when we were thought of as being criminals, when we were feeling the being ostracized by society, and then when AIDS hit the community in the 1980s, during all of that, it has brought together an incredible sense of community. And you've been alive during all of that, but you were denied that sense of community, and it's only now that you're coming to realise it. So it's not just the sense of loss of what did you miss out in experiences with other people that you might have had, but it's also the loss of community. But it's still here, and you've tapped into it fairly well by the sound of it. Now, so since you've come into the gay community rather late in life, what's it like? What's the gay community like from your perspective and your experience, since you've only just been into it and you've had years not to be? Are we all shallow, empty, little bitchy queens? Or is it just me?
Do you really want me to answer that, yes, Adam? Just you. look, the one thing that struck me is just... it's a community, and it's developed... in a sense of understanding, I suppose. Obviously, you want to mix where you can mix with people who understand you. But they're people like anyone else. They've got jobs, they've got relationships, they have friends, they're developing lives. And the only difference is that some are same-sex attracted. And really, at the very bottom of it, I think that's the case. And the community, the bigger community, sees the clubs and the gay bars, etc. In reality, that's probably only a very small part of it.
I'd just like to say for our local listeners, we've had a lot of messages of people who are listening to your story, Peter. And a lot of people have responded very positively, and you've brought started a lot of people thinking. That's just for the local audience here in Melbourne. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo across Australia on the Community Radio Network. Our special guest for this last hour has been Peter, who's been telling us about his relationship and his relationship with his family and his coming out story of being a little bit older. Peter, there are a lot of other people around Australia listening to this broadcast who will be in a similar situation to you, many who have gone through a lot of their lives being aware, but only on a very subconscious level, that they're same-sex or other sexually attracted. And they'll be listening to your story and wondering about themselves. What should they do? Give us a message for those people, Peter. It's really important.
The immediate words that spring to my mind are, be honest with yourself. I could have probably managed this differently, in the sense I could have continued to maintain the facade of married life, and done this in an underhand way. I don't think that's being perhaps honest. I don't think, at least for myself, it would be as satisfying. Idea of going to sex on premises venues, for instance, is not something that interests me. I mean, obviously it must interest other people, though these venues wouldn't exist. But it's not something that attracts me.
Yeah, okay. I've often thought myself that the only way to be truly happy is to be honest with yourself. Because if you live a lie, then You can be very miserable doing that.
I think so.
And you didn't want to go and do it behind her back or behind the family's back. You wanted to keep it all fairly straightforward.
I certainly wasn't driven in that direction, Adam. Okay. No. As I said, when I said those words, I think you're married to a fraud. I probably didn't appreciate the consequences of what I was saying.
The other thing that happens to a lot of married men is they continue with their married lives and relationships, but they go out, and happens married women too, I might add, they go out and they have sexual encounters outside of their marriage, not usually at places where gay people congregate, but they meet them in other locations, and beats and things like that, and they meet people out there, and they're putting themselves at quite a lot of risk. So perhaps the way that you did it, while it's very traumatic for you and the people around you, is possibly it's good for you. But we just want to let people know, perhaps married men who are going out and having sex behind their backs of their family, just to be very careful about what they do. It's a terribly complex, terribly, terribly complex situation, and one that doesn't have any easy resolution. In fact, it's not just a complex situation, it's a complex set of situations. And it's one of the things we mustn't try to do is to try and resolve this as being a single issue item. It has to be something that you have to look at in degrees, very much the way that you've done it, Peter. Thank you for sharing your story with us on the Community Radio Network. It's been really interesting and insightful. How do you feel?
Fantastic.
You feel better now you got it off your chest? That's good. We'll be back with Allegro next week, everyone. Until then, see you later. Bye.
Bye.